today.
It's a red, white, support the blue flashback weekend. Flashing back to our favorite interviews with those that have put their lives on the line for their fellow citizens.
Is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
There's been some really interesting observations that have been made around the case of Lori Vallow Daybell outside of the courtroom since all of this has been going on. And I want to talk about that a little bit, not to get all woo spooky or anything, but it does get a little woo spooky. I mean, it really does. With me to discuss it is trial consultant and body language expert Susan Constantine, also president of the Human Behavior Academy, as well as Phil Waters, retired detective and current president and CEO of Kindred Spirits Investigation and Security, Inc. What I want to, you know, bring up here is Rick Robinson. He was a realtor that dealt with the apartment that Lori was staying in, or yes, it was an apartment, exactly. East Idaho News had a really interesting interview with him. Nate Easton put this one together, and I'm just going to quote a little bit of it here. It says, as a real estate agent, and this is Rick Robinson, who says he'll never forget walking into the apartment on Pioneer Road in Rexburg on January 21st of 2020, saying, as a real estate agent, he was hired by the property owner to lease the unit, so Robinson wanted to check it out, as a real estate agent would. He and his business partner have sold many apartments at the same complex, so he didn't think anything of it until he entered 175. It says, quote, I've been through thousands of homes, but the second I walked into that place, it was just the darkest, creepiest feeling. You felt like you could cut the air with a knife. It was the weirdest thing. I've never felt this way when walking into a house, and I remember just turning on lights because it almost felt like nothing would brighten up that place. Robinson did not know Lori Vallow had been living in that apartment, which was empty and spotless on that day. She was in Hawaii with her new husband, Chad Daybell, at that moment. Robinson had seen the news that her children, JJ Vallow and Tylee Ryan, were missing, but didn't make the connection. This was her place until the end of the garage. Last place I went was into the garage, and that's when I saw that box with JJ on it. He tells East Idaho News, all of a sudden, it just kind of dawned on me. I'm like, no way. This can't be the place. Creepy stuff. The cardboard box, by the way, and this is his quote, he had a cardboard box and was cutting doors and windows out of it, making a home out of it. Warwick said during his trial testimony, I got next to him and tried talking to him, but he was very focused on that and didn't acknowledge it at all. So there was testimony of when JJ was actually making that box. And it's creepy to see that. It's creepy to see the doodles of a child that we know is no longer with us. This box that was, I love playing with boxes. It was probably a place of joy and probably a little bit of a respite for the poor kid. What's your thoughts on all of that? On the idea of, you know, the place having that sort of energy in it after we know who was residing there?
If there was ever an example of demon possession,
yes,
she and her buddy are it.
Well, that's the thing, is that that's exactly what this is all about. It's the very thing. It's a projection of the demons that she sees in herself. Mm-hmm. That's all this is.
Well, yeah. Well, she's been, and the thing about it is Susan was talking about this being, you know, having some of the truth.
Yeah.
And I would agree. And this is what I would tell people in the interview room. You can sit here and tell me 99% of the truth and tell me 1% of a lie.
A lie.
And when you do that, it turns 100% of this into a lie.
Mm-hmm.
So this basis for these different things, and again, so we got a whole lot of stuff, working parts going on here from the religious aspect. So you got the Book of Mormon, you got the Mormon stuff going on, coupled with the Christian stuff going on. So she's got a lot of mixed up stuff happening, and she's kind of formed her own. That's what cults are, right? They form their own ideology and theology based on a combination of different aspects of different religions. And so, and then some of them could be Christian based, some of them could be satanic based. I mean, you know, it just depends on where the, what the theology lies. And she, early on, she was like 18 years old in a beauty contest in Austin, Texas. They were interviewing her and asking her, you know, the silly questions they ask you in a beauty contest, you know, I want world peace, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And she made a comment. I've heard the audio. She made a comment that I'm a ticking time bomb.
Yeah.
And kind of laughed. And I'm thinking to myself, holy crap, 18 years old. My gosh, that was prophetic. So she's an interesting study. Just overall, just her as a person, mm-hmm. it's an interesting study.
Yeah. I mean, she's like Tony. She's like an entire training class. I mean, to break down, it's just mind-boggling. But what else would you like to know from us, Tony? Yeah,
thank you. That's why I love having you two on, because it's just like question and you guys go. And it's always so fascinating.
What I have to tell you, that's the way we are.
I love it.
We get on the phone, it's like an hour later.
I love it. What and speaking to everything we were just talking about, the way that her demeanor is, the way she holds herself, the going into court, whether we've seen in the last many months as she's gone in for hearings, just kind of that smug smile, like, I know something you don't know. Is that because she truly believes all of this? That does she believe that she was involved in killing zombies, or does she believe that she was involved in killing her children? And I think that's a really interesting point here of what was the basis of her thoughts when these crimes were carried out, whether she actually was involved physically in the murder, or it was just a discussion with her friends in the cult, or if it was some sort of conspiratorial thing where it was, well, these kids are in our way, let's get rid of them, this wife is in our way, let's find a way to kill them. But was their way of getting there by hearing voices, by hearing the voices of God? And this is part of the ultimate mission that they must carry out.
I think, look, there's only three reasons people kill people.
Yeah.
Sex, drugs, or money. And the bottom line for this was the reason behind the killing. I'm not talking about the philosophy. I'm talking the reason.
Yeah.
Was sex and money.
Sure. But did she know that, or was that subconscious?
For sure
that
she
was
knew going? It. Okay. Of course she knew it. She's been through five husbands.
Yeah.
She killed one of them. Her brother killed that guy.
Yeah.
She had another husband that died. And I supposedly not under suspicion. And then we got Tammy.
Yeah.
Who's killed, who's murdered under suspicious circumstances, who dies under suspicious circumstances. So, this is all onset because you have the affair. Mm-hmm. These two get together and it's Katie bar the door. Here we go. And so there's the sex component of it. And I guess she must have put something on him that Babbo couldn't take off, you know?
But did they sit down at some point and say, let's get rid of your wife, let's get rid of my husband?
Oh yeah, I mean, it came down to it, you know.
Here's
a financial benefit to that. And
but how was that done? Was it literally a conversation like that, or was it one of them saying, I got this vision from God that this is, we need to remove them? And or was it more behind the scenes that they're pulling the strings, and then on the front that everyone else sees is, this is God's will, this is what he told us to do?
I think that was their story.
Okay.
I mean, when it comes down to it, this is just carnal stuff. Mm-hmm. And they got together, they hit it off, and he's written these books and science fiction books. He considers himself a prophet. It's all the end times type of stuff.
Sure.
And, I think, again, it's just it was a means to an end.
Sure. Susan,
I think that some of this is self-deception, though, too, because I think that she was able to justify these behaviors. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's a part in her, because I thought about this so many times. I thought, you know, it's interesting. None of his kids are dead.
Yeah.
Right? The only ones that got killed off was her. Well, we can already rationalize, right? The ex-wife being killed, but then you've got, of course, the brother and the and the ex-husband, and then you've got the two kids. But they're all primarily on her side. So it's almost as if, what did he have planned? What did he talk her into? He knew about these life insurance policies and the Social Security benefits, and he was looking at that as like, oh, this is a great way to get into that honeypot. And then he convinces her that these kids are, you know, have these dark spirits and all this other kind of stuff. The interesting part that I found in this was when she was talking to her son, is like, they are fine. They are fine. They are okay. And as other times she would say, they're happy.
Yeah.
And when she said that, she actually believed it.
Mm-hmm.
So in her mind, she's like, you know, these kids were dark. Chad's convinced me that they're dark. These kids have got to go. We're going to go off. We're going to, you know, we're part of the 144,000 of the tribe. She's the goddess. She's the one that's supposed to lead the pack. You know, it's really interesting because I've ran into a woman one time that thought, I can't remember what it was, but she thought she was like some ancient person and she really believed it.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because it was a client's house that I went to many years ago. And this was back in my days when I was doing trial image consulting. And I went over to the house to pick out a trial wardrobe for this guy. He wasn't there. The house sitter was there. And she's telling me that she is this person from some ancient time. And at the same time, I'm hearing these chimes, those wind chimes going off in the backyard. And every bit of my hair stood up. And I was like, I got to get out of here, you know? So, you know, how people get in, caught up into these belief system, you know, that is like a psychology in itself. That's a whole study. But to answer your question, do I think, and I know Phil, sex and power, yes, and money, I do. I think that's all of it. But I also think that she was also brainwashed by him. I do.
I have to disagree with my colleague. I don't think there's any brainwashing there. I mean, he's number five in the husband parade. I don't think it took much to convince her because she's obviously never been satisfied with a spouse. So thus we have this series of marriages. And again, I go back to this 18-year-old in a beauty pageant. And they ask her a question. Her response is, I'm a ticking time bomb. I think that is her. And so I don't think that, I don't think she was manipulated, brainwashed into anything. I think that when she got hooked up with him and all this apocalyptic stuff that he was spewing out there, I think that she became the perfect Bonnie to him being her Clyde.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Great conversation as always. We have more with those two this week, so press subscribe so you don't miss any of that. Phil Waters and Susan Constantine, thank you so much for lending your insights here on the program. You can follow me on Twitter @TonyBPod. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.